Well, I'm assuming Dr. Rita Marie will be here soon. There's Valerie. You know, I know. I was looking, I combed it earlier today. It looked fine, but I've been doing this a lot today.
That's funny because I've been out working outside.
You look beautiful.
It's really humid and I've still got some clothes on. I thought I could have at least looked in the mirror, but
no, you look whatever. Fine. I'm feeling pretty blue. And I'm wearing a sweatshirt and sweatpants because it's cold. But yeah, I just found out my grandson is having his tonsils out tomorrow morning.
Darn it!
I know. And I thought I'd had them convinced otherwise. And because of the things that I know about the planets and their placements, it's probably the worst time. You should not have your any type of surgery, especially around the throat and whatever. First of all, we're in what's called Gemini season, and Gemini has to do with your breath and your throat. Okay, not good for that. The other thing is we all know the effect that these new and full moons have on the waters, the bodies of water. It's going to create extra swelling within him with the fluids in his body, because 5 days before and 5 days after, there's an effect on bodies of water, including our own. And children have more fluids within them. But what do I know? I'm just this crazy lunatic. And I just want to cry. I just want to scream and swear and throw things. My youngest granddaughter, they're suspecting that she's deaf. I don't think she's deaf. I think that she has inflammation. Just like if my oldest grandson, I believe, has blood sugar issues. And I was talking to them. I said, listen, this stuff is going on. What about every other week or so we meet, we make a bunch of stuff, you know, like the gluten-free breads and wraps and stuff, and a bunch of dips and things like that that you can use that are dairy-free, that won't cause inflammation. We'll make some smoothies and stuff, so you'll at least have something for a little bit. And, you know, they're like, oh, I don't know, let me think about it. It might be expensive. And I'm like,
yeah.
So I just don't even know what to do. I'm just so incredibly sad. My own throat is all.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because at this point, they're adults. It's their decisions. You've raised them up with everything you need to know.
If it was her, it would be totally different. But this is a little boy.
I understand. But, you know, you're not responsible for them. You've taught them. And yes, be sad, you know, but there's only so much. I think we so want to control everybody and whack them with a 2x4 that what they're doing is wrong. And,
well, I don't.
I mean, I'm not into control.
I'm really not into control. I am into making sure that this kid has a good stab at life. He's already kind of, even though he can scream and yell with the best of them, he still has kind of a throaty voice. It's airy. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I saw a Instagram photo of my older son with his girlfriend was like all proud that she had a bottle of NyQuil and a cup of tea next to him. It's like, and my son knows better. What do you do? What do you do?
Well,
I'm preparing myself that, you know, the grandkids may.
Right. And the grandkids get the Tylenol
my grandson is having his tonsils taken out tomorrow. He waited until the last possible moment to tell me.
So this is something that I really want to explore. Like, why is the addiction to food and instant relief the whole, why has the drug companies and the fast food companies, how have they been so successful at brainwashing people? And how do we use those things to brainwash them in a different way? Do you see what I'm saying? It's so rampant that people, they want the quick fix. They don't care that they don't want to hear the negative downsides. They don't want to change what they're eating or what they're thinking or how they're doing it. But they don't want to be sick. And they don't get that.
That carrying out your tonsils isn't going to change anything. It's taking, you know, I was ranting at my husband, who's a nurse. And I'm like, so they take your tonsils out. All that means is his immune system's going to have to find another way to tell you that your body's screwed up.
Right. And it all goes down to the lungs, right? Because the tonsils aren't there to prevent it. It goes into the lungs.
Okay. We're in Gemini season, which is ruling over the lungs and your throat. And just scientifically, the new moon and the full moon affect body fluids. We just had a new moon on Monday morning. Because the first thing I'm doing is, when is a good time for surgery? This is not a good time for surgery.
All we can do with the people we love, it's the hardest ones.
Yeah. If it was her, that would be different. But we're talking about a five-year-old boy.
That's what I was when I got my tonsils
out. Me too.
I was. And I don't think it served me well. And it can create gut problems, right, too, because what leads from there? And it allows the bacteria, the microbes, whatever imbalances are there that this immune tissue is going to fight goes down further. So it goes into gut. It goes into lungs.
Right. Exactly. And he's already, ever since he was a small child and could feed himself, he was what's called a mouth stuffer. He would take the white bread that they bought and squish it up and stuff it up there, because there was an emotional component. And I've been trying to talk to them about that.
And why does he have the problems like me? Because you're eating white bread and milk food.
You can't have the relationship of just the physical without the emotional. They work together. And so that's what's, it's just like I just want to cry.
I know.
Explode here, and I don't mind taking fallout. I just don't want him to suffer. And then, I just found out over the weekend that the doctors think my youngest granddaughter is deaf, and I don't think she is.
How old is she?
She'll be 2 in July, and I think, again, it has to do with inflammation. I said, first of all, take her to the chiropractor, make sure there's nothing structural. And I think they're all suffering inflammation. And I was telling them earlier, I was getting together with my children, my daughters, and saying, listen, what if every other week we met? We make big batches together of things like the gluten-free wraps, the chia wraps, stuff like that. And we can make different dips and spreads and things and smoothies and whatever, but just get them into that, and they're like, oh, we'll see.
It's hard. I know it's really hard, and I feel for you. And this just says that we need to help people on an individual level. But we need to change the paradigm, right?
And I think that begins with us. So what this is asking for me is to be more certain and grounded in myself of the truth of this. Because I think that's why these other people make the ground roads they do. Because whether they're wrong, as we know they are, they believe they're right. And they're really grounded in that, and that authority comes through. And for some reason, we don't feel, we're just not as assured as they are. And we just have to continually ground and ground and ground in the truth of what we know. So when people see us, they can feel that.
Yep. Absolutely. I agree with that. I agree. I used to have that. I used to have actually in my eyes, there was this spot in my throat. And this iridologist was going, what's going on in your throat? And it just came to me. I'm not speaking my truth. I'm sitting with clients and I'm not being strong enough about, you got to change this. This has to change. Now, oh, maybe it would be good if you know. And so I have over the last, you know, whatever, 5 years since that happened, really come out of not being afraid to say controversial things. You hear me do that all the time, right? Keto, do the keto the way they do it and you have short-term gains and long-term decrements, right? Being strong in our message. Louisa is a great example of being strong in her message. Your eyes, you better get that, you better get that under control. You're going to go blind. You know, like really being strong and seated in our message.
Right. And you can do that without taking and be empowering.
And be empowering. I'm going to help you to do this. What if I could show you a way that you could get, and I'm just making the keto as an example because I was just talking about this. What if I could show you a way how to get the short-term benefits of a ketogenic diet and the long-term beneficial protective effects of eating an abundance of plants? Are you interested? Are you interested? Yeah. Right? And really learning, like really getting grounded. And that's why we were doing at the retreat, right? With the stories, right? How do you tell your story in a way that people are on edge and going, I want that result. How do I get it? Right? As opposed to just the wah, 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 wah. And so we need to join forces. We need to gather more practitioners into this way of thinking. And it's not just functional medicine. Because with functional medicine, there's still a lot of the this for that. Run $2,000 worth of tests. What supplements do we need? And we go from it. And they're not talking to people about the emotional blocks, the traumas, the food itself, the hydration. Yeah, they play lip service, right? Get your stress under control. Get your food healthy. Here's some guidelines. We combine it all.
Right.
And we need to help other practitioners to know, and we need to infiltrate the masses. So one of my goals over the next 6 months is to create some signature talks and a program that's an entry-level, easy investment program geared towards medical practitioners, PAs, nurses, nurse practitioners, and MDs, right, that aren't already so engulfed in this as we are. Right? That maybe haven't embraced this for their own lives. And how do I get them to see that what they want at the end of the day is not for have, oh, wow, Susie's still alive. We've prolonged her life another 3 years. How wonderful, but she's still miserable. But instead, it's like, wow, Susie just played the piano for the first time in 5 years because her arthritic fingers are feeling better. You know, Mary just, you know, went out gardening again. And Tom just, you know, got a promotion because he had the energy to actually, you know, whatever it is to feel like that. Like, how does it feel when you see these people and they do what you've recommended and they're seeing changes? Doesn't that feel amazing? Like, no, we're not doing it for us. We're doing it for them. But at the end of the day, we have to feel satisfied and fulfilled in what we're doing, right? And what we do gives us that satisfaction. And yeah, there's the people who are yes butters. We saw one post like that on the Facebook group the other day. Every time somebody tried to offer a solution and support her, she had a yes but. Marsha reached out to her and offered her a private call to sit down with her and walk her through. I don't have time. So they're not ready. Move on. Right? Move on.
Exactly.
And there's so many that are. There's so many that are. And there's so many that didn't know, like our the one other, the opposite woman on Sweet Spot who's 78 and her daughter put her in this program for a Mother's Day present. And she's basically reversed her diabetes already. Her fasting blood sugar is like between 97 and 107 instead of 160 to 180 to sometimes over 200. Like in 2 weeks. And she's like, oh my God, and I have all this energy. And those are the people that we have so much joy with helping. And yeah, we want to help everybody, but not really. right? They have to be ready and willing. That goes back to one of our assessments, right? A ready and willing. You don't necessarily have to give them the form, but that's the questions that you're asking them. When we work together, when we work together, there's going to be some changes you're going to need to make. You're going to need to look at some dietary things, and there's some other things. I'm going to guide you through step by step and make it as easy as possible, but you're going to have to make changes. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready? Are you willing to do that? And if you have people go, oh, but no, don't you just have an herb for me? Don't you just have a superfood smoothie that I can take every day and that's going to solve my problems? And we have to say, that could be part of it and that can right. help you, but there's going to be more than that that's going to be required. And if you're ready and willing, I'll take you on. But if you're not ready and willing, here's what you can do to get ready and come back and talk to me in a few months when you're ready. You know, that creates you as like this exclusive, like, oh my God, I have to be ready. I have to apply to work with this person, as opposed to you're trying to sell them. You're trying to sell them into working with you. No, they have to try to sell you into accepting them as a client. And when we get those people that are ready, they're the ones that are going to be our beacons. And those are the ones that are going to change this world, you know, from this. I just did an interview this morning on this evolutionary, whatever. It was a really cool radio show. And some of the questions she asked me was, you know, what needs to change in our society to make this kind of stuff the norm? And I said, you know, people just need to be ready. They need to want it. But I said, you know, so much of what the stressors we're going through are leading us to the crime and the violence and the lack of love and support that people are sharing. And people really need to, from the start, we need to start with our children and raise them in an environment of love and support and acceptance of everybody, regardless of who they are, what color they are, what race they are, what sexual preferences they have, whatever. We just need to be in this teaching our children, right? What's that? Crosby, Stills, and Nash, teach the children, right? We have to teach the children because they're our future. So whoever's like into working with mom, pregnant moms, you know, that's a really good place to be working with this stuff because that's the future. They're going to teach the future. So
that's my niche are women, mothers who are bone sucking tired. And I've been refining it down to issues that they, physical issues are leaky gut, leaky bladder, leaky brain, but they also have leaky energy, which is related to their adrenal glands. But underneath it all, they have leaky boundaries.
Leaky boundaries causes it all, right? Yeah. It's a leaky boundaries on an emotional, spiritual level. Why would all the boundaries in our body have any substance to them?
Yeah.
That's great. And that we just need that. We need more of that education in schools and the PTA. And like, there's so many places that we could just get out and speak without the goal of signing people up, right? Just go out and speak, because when you speak from your heart with the goal of helping, they're going to ask you, how do I work with you? As long as you seed that you work with people. Right.
Yeah. There was an article I posted in one of the practitioner groups yesterday, and it was a news article in Iowa, in Des Moines, where children, and we're talking like second graders, are putting their teachers in the hospital because they're being violent to them. Like, they're punching them, they're throwing things and whatever. And that's, again, twofold. These kids are screaming for boundaries, and I live in a state that probably has the most pesticides and herbicides and other chemicals used in it.
And so it
is affecting our children. I did a video, a YouTube video yesterday on, in this month has a lot to do with the heart. I talked about the emotional aspects of the heart as well as the physical aspects, and that there are certain, because you were talking about, people said, well, okay, you have a heart issue, take Hawthorne. if you're an herbalist. And it's like, no, that's not always the way. You have to know.
Well, if you're a good herbalist. A good herbilist knows to look at all the pieces in the constitution.
Exactly. And, you know, some of these herbs that people randomly throw out, like chamomile. Well, if you're already rather hot and dry, chamomile may not be okay. However, if you need some cooling, the flowery tops could be okay. And so I probably talked too long, but I went around and talked about all these different herbs and the type of constitution and how they can help you with your physical heart as well as help open your energetic heart, your spiritual heart. And I kind of set a goal to do one of those each month.
Good. Yay. There you go. People love that information. And there's a lot to share there with herbs, not just what they do, what conditions to use them for, but how do you use them for balance? So one of the things that came up in one of our, I don't remember, I went to a lot of relicensure kind of seminars for all my different licenses. I have to have different courses. So over the last month, I've been to three. So one of them, I can't remember which one, talked about how milk thistle is often talked about as a detox herb, and it's actually not a detox herb.
Right.
It's an antioxidant for the liver. And it helps to support regeneration of the tissue, you know, great in cirrhosis and elevated liver enzyme where there's damage. But it's actually not a detox herb, it actually can interfere with detox. So those are kinds of things that we need to look at. So, you know, liver, it's great for liver enzyme elevations, and it's great for cirrhosis, and it really has been shown to be very beneficial, but I wouldn't use it as part of a detox program.
Unless you needed it.
Yeah, unless you needed it for these other things, but just in general, right? Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily use it there.
But that's when you need to start with the foundations. Are you drinking water?
Right.
Are you chewing your food?
The chewing is huge, right? Well, who did we talk to? One of our ERC members got on. I think I don't have enough stomach acid because I'm seeing undigested food particles in my stool. I said, no, it has nothing to do with your stomach acid. It has to do with your teeth. If there's pieces in there, it means you didn't provide the substrate for your stomach to be able to break it down. There are no teeth in the stomach or any other part of the digestive tract, unless you have this, what's that disease where you have body parts grow, hair and teeth growing in, I forget the name of it. There is an actual disease process. You've got hair and teeth growing in weird parts of your body. But in general, it's not the design. The design is you chew here. And she came back a couple of weeks later. She goes, well, I took your advice and I've been chewing my food. And guess what? I don't see any more undigested food particles in my poop. Right? So it's really being able to call people out on those things. And there is so much information out there with the, with all the summits and stuff, and people are getting confused and really taking them back to trusting their body. Go to some basics, trust their body, do observations, feed back to you because you're the one that can interpret their observations. They can't, not yet. And, oh, this might mean this, right? And you may know, oh, you always have a problem when you eat sauerkraut. Okay, what are some of the problems that can be represented if somebody cannot eat sauerkraut? Well, they could have a histamine issue, right? They could have a SIBO where you're getting the wrong organisms that get stuck in the small intestine rather than going down and implanting in the large. So you're thinking, because you know the physiology and the biochemistry and all that, you're knowing, like, when they say a symptom, you're able to bounce it off this repertoire, and you get better and better at it as time goes on. Believe me, it just takes, I mean, it's taken me 27 years to get to the point where I can look at things and, like, oh yeah. And there's still a lot of stuff where I have to look up. So don't be hard on yourselves. Books are there for a reason. I just got a new book. Lynn was looking at it. I think it's a really good book that we should all have. Let me grab it.
I just got a book.
This was recommended.
Lynn Rose's.
Which one did you get?
This is Lynn Rose's.
Oh, cool. Oh, she has it in physical. I have it on Kindle.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yes, everybody go out to Amazon and look for Lynn Rose DeMartini and buy her book. Support her. Let's support each other.
Coming full circle.
Coming full circle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marvel.
Yay! I didn't know it was physical. It was only on Kindle when I saw it. So this is the book. It was highly recommended by Christopher Hobbs, who taught a class that I did recently. It's Herb, Nutrient, and Drug Interactions. It's a huge book. It's written by, look up Stargrove. It's got three authors, but look up Stargrove on Amazon and you can find it there. And it's also got a CD in the back. Old fashioned, right? It should have a jump drive, but I don't know if I have a CD player in any of my computers anymore, but it's got a CD that has placed extra stuff that you can look up. But it's got, you can look up any nutrient or any herb or any drug and see what the interactions are with other drugs and other stuff. Now, this kind of book will be out of date, you know, and I wonder if there's a link in here, because the ideal would be that they give you a link to a website that would give you updates. But I think it's a really good reference. Lynn was glancing through it. And she's like, oh, wow, this is so cool. So if I look at drug class proton pump inhibitors, it says, gives a list of them. And then it has effect and mechanism of action, so you understand what the drug actually does. And then nutritional therapeutics, clinical concerns. It has a whole sections on most medications that suppress gastric acid. A lot of people are on proton pump inhibitors. I don't know how I happen to fall on that, but impacts B12 and folate absorption. And it shows the severity, blah, blah, blah. So if I look that up, it'll give me some stuff. And some of the others have more details, like anticonvulsant medications, gives it long, et cetera. So, and antacids, it's there for the antacids as well. You can look all of these up. I can randomly look up, let's see, is this the drugs? And then I can look up, I can't remember how to use it exactly. Okay, so here's one that goes through everything, like manganese and magnesium. And so this is a specific drug. Some of them actually have very specific stuff, like their dopamine, how they affect magnesium, how they affect copper. So I haven't started using it yet, but I think it's going to be a really good reference.
Yeah, I saw even interactions with things we consider good.
Exactly.
Careful, and that just again goes
right. Back. And you look at what people are on, right? They're going to give you a list of supplements and drugs that they're on. Helps to see what the mechanism of action of a drug is. If you're looking at folks and doing an initial history, like, oh, they're on this medication, and you ask, what was your response to the medication? And they go, oh, I feel much better since I started taking it. Oh, then you know that whatever that mechanism of action was is working. But I also have like extra this symptom since that. So you can look up the drug and then figure out what nutrients it might be interfering with. And you can't tell them legally to get off their drug, but you can tell them this drug interferes with this, this, and the other, like birth control pills. I mean, there's a long, long list. If somebody's on birth control pills, you can't tell them to go off of it, but you can tell them, here's the downside, here's some of the side effects, and here's some of the nutrients it interferes with. So as long as you're on birth control pills, you need to be on this long list of supplementation or eating foods that are concentrated in it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, that's like the recent client I had that came to me just because she wanted to have me supervise her doing a juice fast. And, you know, I'm like, let me ask you some questions first. And by the end, I think I asked her maybe 5 or 6 questions. And I said, I don't think you should be doing a juice fast. She wanted to lose weight. Oh. And, you know, but she's done every diet that exists. And so just again, anyway, so we did, I had to do a Dutch test. And in fact, I brought her case or her lab here just for further clarification of some things.
Oh, good. Cause there was no cases submitted. So we'll go over your labs.
Oh no, we already did.
Oh, we did. Okay. I remember.
Yeah. And, but in in reviewing it, you know, her the mechanism of insulin resistance was once again rearing its head. And so I went back to her because she's like, no, my, you know, my doctors have always said my glucose is in the right range. And I was looking at her labs and it's like, well, you know, go back again. And so she happened to have her doctor appointment, and this is a functional medicine doctor. And, the doctor said, huh, well, look at there. I think you might really be insulin resistant, and here's your prescription for metformin. So I was able to get her to look at taking the myo-inositol along with it. She wanted to do, what was it, the fasting Prolon.
Mimicking diet.
Yeah, and so worked with her a little bit on that because she was had dead set on doing it, and so I was able to give her some information to maybe use it more effectively for her. But this speaks again to where our clients need to see the whole picture, but it comes from the questions we ask. Those right. questions totally are does. So important.
Wow. I was just looking. I came up with this name for a website / program to come up with that, like Prolon has their thing, and I can't use fasting mimicking if I'm talking about it. So I want to come up with another name for, like, you know, getting the benefits. So I came up with fasting without fasting taken. Okay. Fast without fasting taken. So I want to try to find something, because there's a whole foods way to do it, and I've been playing around with that. It's a certain number of calories, a certain balance of macronutrients, whole and you get into fasting? Autophagy. Huh?
Whole foods fasting?
Whole food fasting. I looked up food fasting, and that was taken. Whole food fasting. Let's see.
Well, you said it, so I said, well, maybe that's what it should be.
I said that?
You said whole foods fasting.
I did. Ooh. Whole food fasting is taken. Who's got all these? Because when
how
you
about whole foods fasting, yeah, really.
Somebody went in and got all these. Probably saw Prolon and fasting mimicking diet and just got into. Fasting with food is taken. Oh my God! Somebody's just taken up all these.
Well, URLs. There is a really nice website on whole food fasting. And he does, and they do say a fast mimicking diet.
Yeah, I think you can't. I don't want to use that because I don't want to get sued because they have a trademark on it, fasting mimicking diet.
Yeah, they
maybe bringing in the whole concept of autophagy, is that getting too technical? Because I know a lot of people.
Most people don't even know how to say it.
And, yeah. Anyway.
Well, they're doing. They're doing
a retreat. Mimicking fasting.
Say it again.
Or say mimic fasting.
Could you do it backwards? Fasting?
What's another word for mimicking? Because I think it's the mimicking I don't want to get
into. Yeah. Unstoppable fasting.
What about take a break? Take a break from food.
Yeah. Break food fasting.
I want to have the word fasting in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fasting's really popular now. It wasn't back in the day.
But you could use the fasting part as a tagline so you don't get in trouble with the title.
That's a good point. Yeah.
These body balance good. Fasting?
Take a break. No food fasting. Oh, no. That's a good project.
Yeah, I'm going to come up with something.
I don't see unstoppable whole food fasting. Janine put that down there.
Unstoppable whole food fasting.
Yeah.
It's available. Interesting.
Or you can do your
body balance fasting is also available.
Fasting. Any words you want to add, because it's part of your unstoppable health.
Yeah, because I want to teach it as a way to do a 4-day-a-month, 5-day-a-month break. But I do water fasting, and I do it once a month if I, you know.
Body balance fasting might be better, because I know you said you like that whole idea, or body freedom.
Body freedom fasting. Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
I just want to get it that it's fasting, the whole idea of that it's not really fasting, it's fasting with food. Like, to get the benefits, like the fasting mimicking is a great term. Fasting mimicking says, hey, we're going to get the effects of fasting without fasting. So pretend fasting, or I don't know.
The thing about fast, though, is like you think the opposite is fast food. So there's, you know, we're fasting. Yeah, so I don't know, maybe play on the fast food to fast no food. Somebody already put that up.
Yeah, Angelica had a good question. Are we discussing eating while creating a fasting-like response in the body?
Yes.
Fasting-like eating.
Look it up.
I'm going to.
Because we're all so much in, you know, the problem with trying to change is everybody's into fast results.
It's available. Fasting-like eating is available. What do you guys think of fasting-like eating?
I think you should.
Or eating while fasting. Or I like fasting like.
Oh, Angelica thought it was a little confusing.
A little confusing? Okay. Fasting while eating?
The new fast food.
Yeah. I still like body freedom fasting, because it doesn't, because if I'm understanding you correctly, you're proposing the idea of fasting in the way that's going to bring balance and freedom to your body. For some people, that might be a water fast. For other people, it might be eating steamed vegetables.
No, I'm actually looking at, so that's a good point, but I'm also looking at it being like people to get the impression that they could get the benefits of fasting while eating in a certain way.
Right.
Right. That's what I'm looking for.
But you still...
I think the body balance sounds really good.
Body balance fasting?
Body balance fasting.
Something like that, yeah, because that is bringing balance no matter which way you're eating. You know, because or if you're fasting.
Going to personalize it. Right. Fasting is still going to show up differently for you than it will for me.
And right, but the real definition.
Hence, body
balance. Body freedom fasting with food.
It's balancing your own body.
Yeah.
Body balance food fasting.
Fasting for body balance looks available too.
Fasting for body balance. Okay, this is good. I'm going to save this chat and I'm going to chew on it and spend some time with looking. These are good ideas.
You chew on it, eh?
I'm going to chew on it. I'm not going to chew on it because that's about all I've got today on fasting. But I can fast and I have no problem with it. But there are times when I can't, where I have to be physically active. And this fasting mimicking kind of approach, when you get a certain number, it gets you into mild ketosis and it allows people to eat and get the benefits, the weight loss, the autophagy, et cetera. And you guys know how to calculate if somebody, does everybody know what autophagy is? Yeah, if you guys don't, then it's going to be hard to sell that to the public.
Susan, I like that. Yeah. The fasting foodie.
The fasting foodie. I like that. Okay, these are good. I'm going to look at these. I'm going to play with it. I don't want to look at things yet until I can know I can get it. Like, anyway. But, you know, autophagy is basically when the body goes into the aspect of just eating up, gobbling up and chewing up and eating and disseminating the toxins in the body, the damaged tissue in the body, you know, things that are damaged by inflammation or damaged by cancer or damaged by something, and it eats it up. So we get into a state of autophagy when we are in a balanced state of, there's a certain ratio of ketones to glucose that puts us in an autophagy state. And it happens to be when you take the glucose and you convert it to the SI units. So instead of it being like 100, it would be 6 or something like that. And then you divide it by ketones, right? So if somebody's at 100, they can get into autophagy if they get their ketones to 6 or higher, right? So it's ketones divided by the sugar. But most people are not going to get to ketones of 6 when they're at glucose of 100. It just ain't going to work. So for me, on my first day of this fast, by the end of the day, my ketones were 3.7 and my glucose was 50. So if I take the 50 and I convert it to SI units, it's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 3. And so I was in autophagy by the end of the first day. For a lot of folks, when they're fasting, you don't get into true autophagy until you're on day 3. Right. But I've done this over and over. I've trained my body how to do this. So I can go into that cleansing state really quickly and I can raise my ketones. As of this morning, I was like 40 on glucose and 4.7. Yeah, it's now 40, still 40. 40 in glucose and I feel great. Do I look like I'm lagging? No, I feel fine. A little hungry, but I feel fine because my brain's been adapted to running on ketones. Now, sometimes people, when they get into the state of ketones might be high and glucose low, but they still feel like crap. And the reason for that is that their brain hasn't keto adapted yet. Their body hasn't keto adapted. So the ketones are there, but the brain hasn't learned how to do that. It's still looking for glucose. And that may take a few more days for some people. So, you know, in some people, it's just too uncomfortable to deal with. And that's when they go, I'm not doing this anymore. Angelica, what do you recommend for someone who's beginning a water fast? I want to try one this weekend. Do you think 2 days is a good? 2 days is a great starting point. Here's the thing, right? You may feel crappy the whole time. I will just say, if it's your first time doing a water fast and you're doing 2 days, just plan on feeling like crap because it's your body's not used to it. For me, the first day is the hardest because it's emotional. Oh, there's some of that Kite Hill cream cheese with Chipotle in the refrigerator. I can start this fast tomorrow, right? Or I still have to use up the whatever. There's still a green smoothie in there. I still have to use it up, but I don't feel like crap anymore on those first days. But when my very first fast, I think the first few days I didn't feel good, but I knew it was going to be better. So I think 2 days is a great sleep vacation. Absolutely. Yeah. And you're going to feel it and you can do a series of whatever length fasts you feel good with. The 24-hour fast has been shown to have great benefits in lowering insulin levels and increasing insulin sensitivity. You could just do that 2 days a week where you have dinner one night, and then you have dinner the next day. That's a 24-hour fast. Amazing benefits. You start to get into some mild ketosis, and it's easy to do. You do that every other day, you're going to start to lose weight. If you do that every day, you do downregulate your metabolism after a fast, and you have to slowly add the food back. So if you start to do that every day, that 24-hour thing, your body goes, oh, we're not getting food, so we're going to downregulate, right? But if you do it every other day, you keep it guessing. Right? So you can have all this amazing benefit. A sleep vacation combined with a 2-day fast, I'm all for it. Just go to bed for 2 days and lay there with, you know, whatever nice music or nice self-help books you want to listen to on Audible or whatever. Awesome. But, you know, when you're guiding people, it's like start with making sure they're going 12 hours between dinner and breakfast. That's a good starting point. And then say, okay, let's try some intermittent type, you know, a shortened eating interval. Let's have you go to 13 hours, 14 hours, 15 hours and keep going. Some people adapt right away and there's a lot of genetics that play into it. There's a lot of old history. I fortunately adapt really quickly now because I've done it so many times. But fasting is great. Fast to thrive, fast to live. That's good. Fasting for balance.
You still want to have that idea that you get to eat.
That's what I want to have apparent in the name. I can name a program something and then, you know, call it. Yeah, anyway, I want to do that. And I really want to introduce this with the sweet spot people soon to go. And I'm going to map it out of here's how you can eat and who's ever game for it. Let's try this for 4 days. So, 2 days is a good, yeah. Okay, so does anybody have cases or labs they want me to go through? Eat while fasting. I think I looked that up. I think somebody just gobbled up anything at all that sounded
similar. Well, some of them actually, eat while fasting is available.
Okay, I have a quick question.
Okay, I'm going to take it. Yes.
About the digestive enzymes.
Yes.
I'm looking for one, and I know we discussed it before, because of the glyphosate in them and the GMOs that are in them. I know there's been a discussion in the group, but I couldn't recall which ones we found that were safe to use. It was a certain thing on the label, and I don't know if you recall or not.
I don't. And
I looked for the one Lynn recommended by Mega Foods, but I haven't found it in stock anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. Was there a specific wording on the label that was
okay?
Important?
But I'm trying to get this ammonia, you know, under control. And the other thing was doing this cleanse. I just realized with Lynn that while I was there at the retreat, I ate a lot more nut products and greens than I'm used to. And I'm thinking if that's part of my problem, because I used to have low oxygen, even though, you know, I increased my fermented foods and all that. Like now I have some kimchi, fermented carrots, ginger, all kinds of stuff I went and purchased at this store to reduce that ammonia. And I'm thinking that will help with the oxalates. I'm thinking maybe oxalates were a problem with me.
Well, it could be oxalates because, you know, you ate a lot of greens and there were a lot. So you found an aggravation while you were at the retreat? Is that right?
Remember her feet were swollen?
Yeah.
The what?
The feet.
Because, yeah, I had a lot of inflammation. I mean, really swelling and the ringing in my ears. So I just thought, okay, I'm doing this cleanse. I'll need to check out the low ox.
Yeah, arugula is a good low oxalate, and chia is a little bit higher. You look up, just look up the low oxalate foods. There's a spreadsheet.
Okay. Yeah, chia are high in oxalates.
I don't know how high. I mean, some people who go crazy.
I'm in the TLO group with Susan Owens, and that's where it brought to my attention today. Also, another lady that works close with her. She was posting about something else about it. I went, oh my gosh, maybe that's it. Maybe that's why I've had.
It could be, yeah.
I mean, part of it. So
I would say, you know, looking at that list, the foods that come to mind that are like the greens that are low oxalate are the arugula has none. The kale, the dinosaur kale versus the other kale is lower in oxalates. The seeds are going to be a lot lower in oxalates than the nuts, and some of the nuts are higher. Is she there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just driving. I put the phone down.
Yeah, turn it off while you're driving. I think there's a really good, I don't know if I put a link to it in, isn't there an oxalate section in one of the programs?
And I might in MDS, there's a low ox, I think, sheet.
And then Steph did a talk on oxalates.
Oh yeah, and the food principles. Religion. She did a talk on oxalates. And there's a lot of good websites out there that have them. There's one that has them organized by the numbers, and it actually will say, you know, try to keep your total amount of oxalates below this threshold if you're super
sensitive. Yeah, it's like 2,000 milligrams, and that's easy to get to if you're doing green smoothies. So,
well, celery's low. Arugula is low.
Yeah, so with calcium, Lynn mentioned Mag citrate
and calcium citrate that you take when you're eating the oxalate foods because it binds to it. The whole point of people getting oxalate sensitivity is that it gets into the blood. It's not supposed to get into the blood. So
I also recommended the charcoal, activated charcoal.
Yeah.
Does that bind to oxalate?
I have it to take that and say I can take it at night.
Do zeolites bind to? I don't know if they do. Do zeolites bind to?
I'm not sure about zeolites. I knew that the activated charcoal does.
I wonder if modified citrus pectin binds to it because that could also help you with your toxicity. Let's look that
up. I have Pectisol C by that one company that originally made it. Okay, Pectisol C, huh? Okay, and those are powders, the calcium citrate? And stuff.
Yeah, you can get it. Thorne has a powder. There's other companies that have powders.
Okay, well, I'll pick that up today because I need oxygen. This is making sense with my shoulder. It is still bothering me, and I've been trying to eat healthier, and I'm getting inflammation, pain. heavier ringing in the ears, dizziness, brain fog. I mean, you know, and watching what I'm eating, I'm like, what's going on? And then I thought, well, maybe this is it. So, and with my ammonia levels high, that kind of makes sense. That means my gut bacteria is off from all the damage I did to it with the bad food. So I thought, does that sound about right, Dr. Reed Marie?
Yeah, and then, you know, if you have any, I don't know about your genetics, right, your CBS area, the sulfation SNPs.
Those are kind of messed up. Not CBS, but the other ones are. And the
how about molybdenum? Have you looked at molybdenum as a supplementation?
I do take it when I notice I'm having gas and bloating with broccoli or something, or, you know, with sulforaphane.
Okay, so that's a clue. But I haven't had that problem. Metabolism.
Right.
I would say that would be a regular basis. Take it as a regular basis.
Yeah.
Because the gas and bloating is a more obvious symptom, but the other stuff are more subtle symptoms.
But
I would say
calm down.
It does calm down from it. Yeah. Indicates that it's going to work. So I would just take it on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Take the molybdenum. But going back to Pectisol, right? We were going to look up Pectisol. Did you look that up to see if it, I was going to look and then it got distracted because I closed out a thing. I did get Eat While Fasting. Who suggested Eat While Fasting? I like that one.
Eat While Fasting.
I like it better than Fasting Without Fasting because it has a positive. Eatwhilefasting.com.
Susan.
And it creates curiosity. So Susan, yay Susan. Way to go.
Yeah, I also have notes from the guy who created the product. From one of the talks, and very thorough for the cancer.
It's a great stuff. Great research. You know, but the product is substandard, in my opinion. I got a free kit. They're $250 kit. I got it for free, and I wouldn't eat it. I gave it to my husband. I said, you try it. Do this for
$5,000.
He wouldn't eat half of it.
Oh, are you talking to me?
What? No, it's vegan. It's plant-based. But it has, like, these powdered soup mixes. And he's like, do I have to eat this soup? Can I just eat cucumbers and you know, radishes instead? Right? And so it has stuff that is just not, in my opinion, high standard. So anyway, I think Robin Openshaw is creating a product, Green Smoothie Girl, because she was outraged by that, the price of that product. So she's creating a product. And I said, well, as soon as it's ready, send me some and I'll try it.
Was that for the fasting mimicking?
The fasting mimicking, yeah. I don't know what she's calling it. She's calling it something different. But I want to do it more like teach people how to do the food. Just do it with real food. So I got Eat While Fasting. So I'm looking at modified pectin.
I know Pectisol C, fibrosis and all this. It chelates heavy metals.
Here we go. It's listed under strategies on Medline, strategies for preventing calcium oxalate stones. About 10% urinary factors. Let me see what it says. Fluid intake, calcium. We already talked about that. Oxalate, the many foods. Okay, this is giving you lists. Let's see. Sodium, protein. I want to see where it says modified citrus pectin. You know what I hate is when they somehow, the description that you look up on Google. They give you false stuff. Okay, calcium oxalate deposits. Citrate prevents renal injury from calcium oxalate. Effective juice pressing. Hemolactic acid. Now I'm not seeing anything directly related to it.
Well, I'll just make sure I take it once a day. I already have, and I'm getting ready to order another bottle.
Yeah, so I'm going to look up the...
I do it for my liver anyways. It's just a great manage it with all my blood sugar problems.
Oh, with all your issues with the toxins and the metals and all the other exposures, I think it's good. I'm going to look up zeolite.
I have portal hypertension and my spleen's enlarged. So, you know, it's just I have my counter full of stuff and I do it, you know. And I was really surprised my digestion was really well in Texas, which showed me, and my bowel movements were fine, that obviously what I'm doing, I'm doing something right. Because I didn't have diarrhea and I didn't have constipation. So I was very proud of how my body was functioning with all that good food.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking up, I think that the modified citrus pectin. No, zeolites will actually cause. What does it do? Okay, if you suffer from calcium oxalate issues, zeolite. Zeolite is a fabulous mineral that created. Okay, as it binds with the yucky soil, it releases calcium, which can be then used by the large to charge opposite. Yeah, so zeolite's another one that will bind with it, that will bind with the oxalates. So that's a good strategy to know. And then making sure you're getting enough bifidobacter. Bifidobacter will help enhance the growth of oxalobacter, which will eat them up. So you've got some strategies here. You've got increasing your, you know, magnesium citrate in your diet, you know, with when you're eating those foods, and then some zeolite to help bind it out. Charcoal, do you have you seen studies that show charcoal does it too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have activated charcoal.
So the zeolite and charcoal to bind it, and those will also bind with your other toxins. And then, of course, looking at the lists and trying to keep them as low as you can, but not completely avoiding them.
Yeah, because I don't want any more damage to my neck. I already have the osteophytes or whatever, the deposits on my neck from my car accident. And, you know, I've been trying to fix my bones slowly because that's going to take time. But thank you for all your help. And
you're
I'll
welcome.
Read your comments later.
Angelica, does juice fasting activate a different detox response than not eating at all? So if you have calories coming in, especially some of them from fruit juice, autophagy will not kick in with fruit juice. It won't, because your glucose is going to be too high to kick into autophagy. Now, you could do some sort of vegetable juice with fats. You really need to have some fats in there. So vegetable juice blended with avocado, right? Olives. There's all kinds of things that you can do to keep the fat at a certain level, the glucose down, and the fiber high. And that's what kicks into the autophagy. I have the exact micro and macronutrient ratios that they use in Prolong.
I have a question.
What does that mean, Janine? Will we get the chat copy? We always put chat in the replays, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, question.
Am I understanding that you're saying that autophagy doesn't occur unless the blood sugar is at a certain...
The blood sugar ketone ratio.
Okay.
To kicks you into autophagy.
I think I don't.
What's that?
I said I thought I understood it, but I think now I don't.
So what you want is the ketones to come up and the glucose to come down. And when they hit a certain critical threshold, you get into not that autophagy doesn't occur, but when you want to get maximum, really heavy duty autophagy like you would in a cleanse, it's when the sugars come down and the ketones come up and they meet where it's 1-to-1 or the ketones start to exceed the glucose after you've converted the glucose to standard international units. If we go to Keto Mojo, I'll give you the link. Now, they now have a calculator. It's called the KG ratio. Let me see. Let me just do this. the glucose, it's the GKI, the glucose ketone index. If you go here, I'll give you the link. There should be a calculator. They discuss it, but I thought there was also a calculator. How to calculate. Okay, so here I'm going to give you this. And you can play around on their site and find out more, but here you go.
I found it.
Oh, that's perfectketo.com. That's not where I wanted to be. I wanted to be on...
Keto Mojo has it.
Yeah, on Keto Mojo. Do you have the link there? I think when you go there, it has resources. Hub Shop. Keto Guide. Interesting.
I just liked it.
Did you put it in there?
Huh?
Okay, let's see. Keto Mojo. Glucose ketone. Yeah, there you go. It explains what the GKI is and explains how to calculate it, and then you can put it in. So mine today was 40 at glucose and then 4.7 ketone, and my KGI is 47. So it's actually the opposite. It's the lower it goes, the better. So it's glucose ketone. I told you the opposite. So mine is 0.47. Once it goes below one, you're good. Actually, below two is considered good. So if you look at the chart, it says if it's less than one, you're in the highest therapeutic level of ketosis. Yay, that's where I'm at right now. Very difficult to achieve without doctor's supervision. Well, I supervise myself. In 1.3, you're in a high therapeutic level of ketosis. And then 3 to 6, moderate level. So ideally, I think Papa says two is what he likes it at, not one. Two is what he strives to get people in. So yeah, it's a good chart. Go to that page and check it out. So I quickly get into that very high therapeutic ketosis, which I feel so good when I'm fasting. But we want to be able to achieve that while eating. So I want to try a little fasting mimicking experiment with myself and just see how would I have to do to get into that state? So it's good stuff for us. What's that one, Lynn? The Science Direct?
Those are both about where they've used activated charcoal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Perfect. Okay. Does anybody have questions? Clinical? We didn't have any cases today, official cases, so... You guys, when we're having these calls, just submit your cases, whether it's you, you know, fill out the form. It'll give you good practice filling out the form. If it's your mother, your sister, who cares? I don't care who they are. Just put in cases, upload if you have labs, and then we'll discuss them because it really helps to have real people. Although I thought this was pretty beneficial too. Yeah.
I did. I have my client, the one I'm working with, that's going through detox from alcohol and working on their liver enzymes, but she wasn't able to get my form completed, and she's doing a bunch of labs. So for your next call, I'll have all her labs, hair mineral analysis, everything.
Oh, wow.
Over. So it should be a good, yeah. So I want to get all that so we have a full call to be able to go over it.
Yeah.
So hopefully somebody else doesn't have a big case like that, but I think it's something that we could all learn from with this. So,
Allison, tell us about your interesting, tricky case today, please.
Oh, so you can't, she can't talk about it because it's an NHL.
Well, you don't have to give names, right?
Yeah.
No?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello.
I can.
Oh, great. Yes, I've come back a bit shaken from my NHS clinic today. So I do GP local to bring the dough in while I'm getting everything else set up. And... had an interesting angry patient who was a bit of a bully, and I've been reflecting since, and I just wonder whether I would ever have had the courage to actually say to him, thinking energy medicine wise, where else in your life are you a bully?
Right? In your 9 minutes where you could get that started and not be able to finish it. Oh, yeah, that could be ugly.
But, you know, he was just frustrated that he couldn't get the treatment he wanted immediately for free on the NHS. He'd just been in Portugal where you buy treatment, so you get it when you want it. But he didn't see why, if he can afford to buy it in Portugal, but he didn't want to have a chiropractic or osteopathic appointment for his shoulder here. And he didn't want to wait 12 weeks for the NHS waiting list, you know. But he was an angry person who wouldn't, you know, talk across me whenever I tried to explain the limitations of the NHS and everything. And there's the joy of setting up, you know, it really does reinforce my need to set up my private clinic so that I can sack patients I don't want to work with.
That's right. You can have an application process, and if you don't like them, you don't take them. And yeah. I really think that's what we have to put out there for folks. Yeah. I'm even thinking of it more for the group programs too, because we get some of those bully, you know, the victim people, not so much bullies, but victim people. And like to be able to say, look, I don't think you're ready for what I have to offer. Here's how you can get ready.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then they go, oh, I want to be ready, but I like what you're doing, you know, and it takes them off guard.
Yeah.
Is that victim mentality? I probably wouldn't have even in a full blown setting said, where else are you a bully in your life? Cause that's confronting. But I would say, something like, are there places in your life where you're feeling like you're getting bullied and you're feeling like people are manipulating you? Is that happening for you? And something along those lines, or just watch their body posture and comment on it. Like, Laura, wow, when you said that, your mouth just pursed up and your eyes got really narrow. What's going on there? Did you notice that? Or just commenting on it. I'm not really masterful yet at Laura's approach, but just commenting on it. And they go, yeah, that's right. Because that's what happens with bullies. Bullies are usually bullied. They're abused. They're not, and I don't know how true they are. People pass around these good, feel good stories that have, they show slides and then they have these words on them. And there was this one about, you know, the bully that the kid that got bullied and later in life, you know, blah, 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 ran into this guy and it was in his employ. He'd just gotten out of prison, blah, blah, blah. And he said, you know, the days I was beating you up were the days my dad beat me up. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know how else to express it, you know, and whether it's true or not, it's a good reminder to us that people who bully others are in pain. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was left pretty shaken, you know, I don't usually have that situation. You know, I see 25 to 40 people a day and usually most of them are really, really pleased with the consultation. So, but there we go. I just wanted to.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to come into that. And obviously in that situation, you don't have a choice. But if it was a private client, you'd say, you know, I'm going to refer you to this guy down the street because I don't think we're a good match personality wise.
Yeah. For sure.
Thanks for sharing. Who else?
I have a question.
Yeah, I think I want to go back to Janine and I'll answer your question because she said this about the ACE scoring. And I think that we all should be incorporating ACE scoring in our initial assessments with folks because it makes a huge difference. Huge difference. Yeah. So Valerie, does everybody know what the ACE score is? We can explain. But Valerie, you had a question.
Yes, I was wondering if you've had a chance yet to set up more panels on Dr. Hopkins' site. I'm in a situation where I need to run, I want to get a full panel of pretty much the whole picture, including all of the CWP, thyroid, vitamin D, pretty much everything. And he's
Have you looked at his full panel? Because you can always pick a panel that has close, and then you add the individual stuff. Because setting up it as a panel, if he's, you know, it's a lot of work on their team side. And if it's not something that we're going to refer a lot of people to, I don't think they want to do the work to do that. But you can just pick a panel that's got, that's close. And then you just add the individual things as individual tests. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm trying to leverage the cost for it as well. And I found several panels, like three panels, that, but there was a lot of duplication on them.
Duplication overlapping them.
Yeah.
So what I would recommend you do is send me that list of everything you want. And then we can pass that on to them and say, do you have a panel that does all this? And how hard would it be to set up a panel that does all this?
Okay.
Because it might be something I do want to do, because right now I'm looking at the panels and go, oh, this one doesn't have this and this one doesn't have that. And how do I get a comprehensive? But it's, you know, it's likely going to be like a $600 or $800 panel, right? I know he has like a $1,200 panel that he does. That's like everything, but it's not really everything, because it didn't have serum iron on it, didn't have T4 on it, and it had things I didn't care about, like B12. So, and a few other things. So yeah, send me that list of what you're looking for, and we could just pass it on to him and see if he's willing.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, because I know from their point, you know, if it's easy enough to do, their profit margin on the one test might be worth it for them, but it may not be that they're going to, like, how often are you going to run this test, and is it going to be worth us to spend, you know, $100 to get the tech guy to set it up?
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Adverse childhood experiences. Lynn just put a link up to it. There's a 10 question test. There's more advanced ones, but the ones that most of this, the research has been done on is this basic 10 test. And, if you've got a score of, if the person has a score of more than one, even one, there's got some challenges there. Most people have at least a one on it. But if that score, the higher that score goes, the more likely that their adverse childhood experience, whether it was a physical trauma, you know, a birth trauma, an accident, an injury, or more of an emotional family kind of thing, parent dying, divorce, abuse, child abuse, incest, molestation, there's a bunch of stuff on there, and that predicts the physical health later on. Amazing book. I wrote about it in one of the, the clinical pearls in the newsletter, was a book called, Childhood Disrupted. If you haven't read Childhood Disrupted, I highly recommend. I listened to it. I listen to my books on audio. I put them at double or triple speed, and I get through a lot of books while I'm exercising or traveling. But amazing book, which, you know, kind of summarizes a lot of the different research on adverse childhood experiences, and also gives you a lot of examples of people. So she tells these horrific stories early on and these problems, and then she does a lot of exploration, and then she comes back to these stories at the end and shows you how intervention, the kinds of intervention with each of these people, really helped turn stuff around. And she has a lot of resources in the back of, you know, things that you can share with people. Amazing stuff. Allison said, I saw a girl 18 yesterday with severe self-harm and paranoia with delusions abused in the past by stepfather. And we see a lot of that. We also see stuff we wouldn't, like, she's self-harming. That, like, we think, oh yeah, there must be something in her past where she was hurt. But sometimes it's just as simple as the chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, achy joints, autoimmune disease. That is linked to a trauma that happened, but we don't necessarily do it. Keisha Ewers, in her book, The Autoimmune Fix, Dilemma,
Puzzle,
The Autoimmune Puzzle, she shares the story of how she suddenly developed this arthritic condition, autoimmune arthritic condition, and she was around 30-ish, and somehow figured out to link it back to this situation she had overlooked, and she might have been in counseling or whatever, with a teacher at school who sexually assaulted her
it wasn't even assault. It was sexual. I mean, it's always assault when it's non-consensual, but I mean, it wasn't like beat her up and raped her. It was this, you know, emotionally abusive situation she got into where he got her to do sexual acts with him. And that caused her autoimmunity. And when she went through some processes that she shares in the book, that she was able to get her to reverse her autoimmune disease. So there's so many things that play in to the physical stuff. Yeah. So with that, Allison, what's your plan with her? Or is that was in the NHS, right? So what if hands are tied?
Yeah, the NHS. And the really severe thing is that she's cut open her forearms and they're not even close together. The wound is 2 centimeters wide, so more than half an inch wide. It was the one from a week ago. She wouldn't even show me the self-harming she'd done the day before. But because I'm a locum, I don't have responsibility for continuity, thank God. But I did refer her, you know, I alerted the mental health people because she's fallen between two posts because the support worker she was given has actually left. And she's also at this vulnerable age of 18 where people who've been with CAMHS or child and adolescent mental health services from the age of 13 or whatever. But when they're 18, they're suddenly handed over to adult services. And it's a very tricky time because when you've been through stuff like that, your relationship with your support workers, counselors, whoever you're working with is really important.
It's important to establish trust.
Yeah, yeah. And she'd been left a month with this, and the paranoia was that the delusion was such that she said she remembers a girl, a little girl, leaning forward and cutting open her arm. So this, I think, is her seeing her own little girl from when she was abused and when she was vulnerable, leaning forward and cutting her arm. You know, that little girl, I mean, I don't know the history, I don't know how old she was when she was abused. But, you know, you can sort of see how it would work, if you know what I mean, how the energy would work.
Right, right.
She got a really supportive mum. God knows what mum's been through. But they just sort of falling between services. In the UK, mental health services, I'm sure it's the same worldwide. It's just so underfunded, underavailable, you know.
Yeah. And what was her presenting complaint?
You know, my daughter needs psychotherapy, but you can't get that on the NHS. You can only have 3 sessions on my private insurance. And so, you know.
It's all out of pocket.
Yeah. Can't afford it. Yeah.
What did she present with? Did she come in for a particular?
This young girl yesterday. Yeah. She came in because she thought her cut was infected, which it was. So I've given her antibiotics and the nurse has put one of those special dressings, because we've got really good dressings nowadays that promote healing. So she's got a dressing on and I spoke to her on the phone today and she's already feeling it's more comfortable. Those dressings work magic.
So she presented with a physical problem, but then, you know, as you talk to her, the real big issue is she needs to get the help. She needs to get the support to reverse.
Well, she's already got help and support. She's had psychotherapy and counseling for years. It's just that she's falling between two posts. And then, you know, my job in a 10-minute consultation is to make sure that she's safe. And her mum's very supportive.
That's good that she has a supportive mom, because a lot of those folks are just left in the cracks and mom denies that there was any problem.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Any other questions before we close? Comments? Thank you for brainstorming that URL for me. I did get eat while fasting. Is that what I got? I don't remember. I have to look it up.
I think.
But I like it.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, I like it. So we'll see what we can do with that. It may be a new program that we offer. For folks.
So that would be my
challenge. Maybe we do a 4-day challenge, a Facebook challenge.
Yes.
Just like you did the keto.
Let's do it.
Yeah, like we did with keto. I bet we'll get a bunch of people in. I bet a bunch of the keto people will come in.
Well, if you do that right before you do your live stream in July, that would be a good entry point.
Good way to get people to that live stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see what I can do. Whew. Busy, busy, busy.
I thought I'd just share a little bit of what I shared because I've been studying this kind of medical astrology along with the herbs and everything. And we were talking earlier about, you know, you don't do this for that, even with herbs. And so this works whether you were born under the sun sign of Gemini or you're in Gemini season where we're at now. It can play in. But anyway, we talk in transpersonal energy healing about specific body types for the different survival patterns. And it's kind of similar here. So people that it's what they call the energetic architecture, because Mercury, the planet Mercury, which is why a lot of people are having technological issues now. It's not in retrograde, but it's the ruling planet of Gemini. So anyway, I know I'm probably losing like everybody here, but in Ayurveda, it's what's called a Vata constitution. So you're tall, thin, you're angular, you have a tendency towards coldness and dryness. And so that's when you take a look and see which plants will work with that person. Because if they're already cold and dry, you don't want to give them something that will dry them out even more. You might want to give them something that warms them, but without the drying. And so anyway, I just wanted to offer or to share that that's kind of the thing I put in on this video that I did.
I would love to see that, Lynn. That sounds awesome. Sounds really interesting.
It was, it's on my YouTube channel.
Okay. I'm going to go check it out.
There you go.
Cool.
But it just all follows what we're learning here, which is you can't just say you have arthritis, take this. You have a headache, take feverfew.
Or making diagnoses. I mean, on one hand, you understand that people want to put people in boxes, but nobody quite really fits into those boxes. And, you know, that's the modern medical approach is get a diagnosis and then, you know, you have one of two or three different treatment options for that. But really, there's so much more that goes into that. And it's not addressing root cause, which is what we're all about. And it's really retraining the mind, going back to what we said right at the beginning, is understanding how is it that the pharma, big pharma and modern medicine and big food have brainwashed people into thinking that they have the solutions. How is it? What's the mechanism they're using? Because maybe we can use it that way too. Whose birthday is it?
Me, Billy. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Happy
birthday, Julie.
Thank you.
Yay.
I'll just share real quickly. A week or so ago, my daughter had her 35th birthday, and she had told her boyfriend, "I want you to plan me a party." And then afterwards, she said, "I guess I'd really like to plan my own party." The whole point is that she asked for what she wanted. I turned 60 this year, and it was a work day, and I've always just worked, or it's been like a non-event. And I was like, because I kept waiting for other people to do it for me. And I realized, you know what? This is the summer. I'm celebrating each day for each of the birthdays that I didn't celebrate.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
So, I like it.
It's like each day is going to be my birthday celebration.
Does that mean you're going to like go away on a beach and read books for however many days?
No, it's you know.
I know you wouldn't do that, Lynn.
That's good. I'm a mountain person anyway. It's the whole idea of asking, you know, hey, I want to do this today, and asking for it and celebrating it.
I think asking for what you want is a really good thing. My younger son is turning 21 next Wednesday.
Oh, yay. And he's a Gemini too.
He asked for, he wanted to go to Boston to a Red Sox game. That's what he wanted to do. Can we do that? So we have family out there. My brother-in-law gets season tickets. It's not a big deal. So we're flying him and his girlfriend out with us. We're all going. And I thought, you know, he just wanted us to fly him out there. No, I want you guys with me. So that was really cool.
Aww.
I'm not a baseball person, so I'm not actually going to the game with them. I'm just going to hang out. He said, yeah, it'd be a waste to bring you. You'd be bored. You'd be on your phone the whole time. What, you know? So he gets me, but he wanted me there. So we're flying out together. We're all on the same flight. We're going to go there. We're going to spend the day playing around in Boston. When we get there, then they're going to go to the game. I'm going to work. And then we're going to head out to Cape Cod and spend a couple of days there because Scott's sister and brother-in-law have a house in Cape Cod. So we're going to spend a couple of days there and then we're going to come home on Sunday. But the point is that he asked for what he wanted. I mean, is it reasonable? And we went, you know what? We get to visit our in-laws, my in-laws, Scott's sister. So we made it happen for him, you know? And I think
that's awesome. I read that in your newsletter, I think.
Oh, you did? Yeah. And I put it in there. So I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be really nice. And he asked for what he wanted. You know, for me, what I usually want on my birthday, I didn't get it quite this year, was I want to not have any appointments. I want to go swimming. I want to go hiking. I want to just hang out and eat lunch, go, you know, spend time with my kids. So my one kid was not home. He's in DC, but I did get to go hiking. We went hiking with my son, Kevin, and his girlfriend. We went out to dinner, but I did work and, you know, I didn't get to go swimming. So it was close, right? You put out there what you want and you hope, you know, that at least some of the parts come together.
Yep.
I love it. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
What are you doing special for your birthday? Going to school?
Yeah, I actually am. I'm working and I'm going to class. I have one class today. I dropped my daughter off at, she has a class trip that for 3 days, the next 3 days down in Ashland for the Shakespeare Festival. So she did that. She won't be home tonight. But my son and my husband and I are going to get sushi and just sit outside. And it's beautiful weather here. It's sunny and 75 degrees and it doesn't get any better than this. So
I'm
going to enjoy it. Yeah, just low key. I don't want to make a big to-do out of it. So
make a big to-do out of it.
I'm getting older.
I think it's a celebration, and I think life begins at menopause. I'm just going to say.
I'm feeling like it does.
I haven't reached it. I stepped into my power, my confidence, my ability to use my voice once I hit menopause.
I'm with you, Rita Marie. I'm feeling the same, and, you know, I think once I get through some of the choppy school stuff and get that out of my way, then it's just going to be, like, much easier.
Yeah. And you get
my physical, but you know, I just want to do I want to get some exercise today. That's like my thing I want to do today.
Good. Well, go get some exercise before class.
Yeah.
Or after class.
I just read an article. They're calling us perennials.
Perennials.
I like that. I'm a perennial.
I love that. I'm a perennial. Woo-hoo. Exactly. Because we just don't grow old.
Nope. We're going to stay young.
Oh, I'm going to use that. That's awesome.
I remember my son came to me last year on my birthday and I was turning 62 and he says, I forget how old you are, Mama. You like 48? I'm like, thank you, honey.
Well, that was the excuse my kids gave to me when they said, wait, you're 60? We didn't think you were that old. And like, right.
Well, they forget because, you know, he's like, I'm out there hiking with him. His friends' moms are sitting at home, you know, whatever. You know, taking arthritis medications and eating bonbons. So, and being overweight, he's always like, well, he even said that to me. Like I walked out one day, I was dressed and he goes, whoa, Mom, you're hot. I don't mean that like in a bad way, but wow.
That's the best compliment you can get from one of your kids. I think. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And then when I did more pull-ups than his girlfriend could do, who's 21 and a third my age, he was like, you know, my mom can do 3 minutes of plank and 35 push-ups. What can you do? I can't do any of that. But anyway, it's good to know they're proud of you.
Yeah.
even though when they fight you most of the time. Anyway, I'm going to go so I can get ready
for celebrate your life.
And I'm excited. Thank you all for being here. And
thank you.
See Kim, if you've not put yourself on, come on. I know Angelica's probably at work, which is soon going to change, right, Angelica? I see Susan. Susan, and there's Kim. Who else? I don't see. Martha's there. Martha? Yeah, I saw Martha a minute ago. There's Susan. Okay. Yay. It's good to see your faces. Thank you so much for being here. Mwah, much love. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.
Next week, make sure you come to the ACR next week. It's this guy, Dr. Dan Stickler. He's local here in Austin. I just went to a seminar he had on epigenetics over the weekend. He's really smart. He's very aligned with a lot of our stuff, like the way, like, don't look at treating genes, don't look at treating symptoms. You got to look at and high performance. So he's going to be talking about some of the epigenetic stuff that he's been researching. So I think it's going to be fun. So cool. Come next week. All right. Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye, everyone. So good to see you.
You too.